जय माँ। सो वी कंटिन्यू विद वॉल्यूम 12 कलेक्टेड वर्क्स ऑफ द मदर ऑन एजुकेशन एंड टुडे वी आर गोइंग टू रीड अ पैसेज और समथिंग द मदर हैज रिटन टाइटल्ड अ ड्रीम। इट्स लाइक अ विजन डॉक्यूमेंट, द ड्रीम दैट द डिवाइन हैज सोन इन द ह्यूमन हार्ट फॉर अर्थ। And the beauty of this is that she is speaking of things with which many of us can relate to, because that's what ultimately is a dream we all carry, a dream that the earth should become beautiful, perfect. She wants to realize it in collective life. So at one place Mother says, collective harmony is the work that only the divine can undertake. He has undertaken. Because human life with ego and harmony, they don't go together. So we'll read this. This is something in the background of which we have to see how much we as a collective organization have progressed or not. Not with the idea of blaming anyone, but with the idea of seeing how much we can attune ourselves. So when we contribute to this work, we should know how much we are inwardly attuned to it or not. So that's all we can do. Rest is, he has to fulfill it. But it's very amazing. So I don't know for what reasons, but for quite some time a dream used to be available. If you went to Auroville, you saw this, a dream by the mother, that this is the dream for Auroville. For some time, I thought that that's how it is. It's something very beautiful. And then I read that this document has been written way before the formation of Auroville. In fact, before the supramental manifestation. It was written, came out in the bulletin of Sri Aurobindo International Center of Education in August 1954. And it is a dream where she specifically mentions the ashram. So it's not only a dream of Auroville. I'm not saying it's not a dream for that, but it's also a dream for the ashram. And that's what we can see, that ashram is the first prototype where she has tried to manifest this dream. Why we say tried to? Not because it will take place one day, but it's on the way towards its progress. Auroville is the next project, and eventually the world will tune itself to this dream, today or tomorrow. But most importantly, that in our own life, if we can manifest this dream or help in, collaborate in its manifestation, life should be so much more beautiful, which is what we all aspire for. A dream. There should be somewhere on earth a place which no nation could claim as its own. That's one reason why mother didn't want any politics. Not only in ashram, also in Auroville. There is a handwritten note of her. She didn't want governments to interfere in Auroville. Because the moment government comes in, there is an angle which comes in. And it invariably, because each one is not about somebody being at fault. It's just that the agenda, every group has its own agenda, government has its own agenda, each party has its own agenda, and why not? I mean, it's their way of looking at things. Institutions have their own agenda, like institutions may be built around, as we know that how Christ was doubly crucified, first on the cross, second by Christianity. I mean, it's now a well-known thing because his teachings were lost and buried. So this is the dream which, as we know that things manifest from the Pragya to the Swapna and then the Sthul Jagat or the Virat. So the same way, anything that has to manifest first, manifest in the inner being of man as a dream. So when we use the word Ram Rajya, we'll find that here are hints of what exactly is Ram Raj. Because each one has, we have the word Ram Raj. What does it mean? Each one has his own interpretation. So people think immediately that Ram Raj means everybody who is bad will be thrown out, will be destroyed by the power of Lord Rama's bow and arrow. But that's not what Ram Raj implies. So we can say that if you want to understand what Ram Raj would be, this document is like the divine vision document. And as we will go through, we will see that there is no authority of one person or a group in for this dream to manifest, because authority only changes things from outside. For this dream to manifest, each one has to awaken. That's the problem or the challenge. And Shubhendu says that in Satyug, the divine manifests as Yajna Purush inside the heart of every creature. So if we have to really express Satyug, it cannot be done by government, it cannot be done by policies, systems, external authority. It has to be done by a progressive awakening of individuals within. And this way the dream begins. There should be somewhere. Now this is interesting. She is mentioning in 54, Shubhendu Ashram is well established. Auroville is not there, but centers have not yet come into existence. But she says it doesn't matter where, somewhere. There should be somewhere on earth a place which no nation could claim as its own, where all human beings of goodwill who have a sincere aspiration could live freely as citizens of the world and obey one single authority, that of the Supreme Truth. So this is itself a big challenge, that people don't live there as Indians, Europeans, Americans, Russians, but as citizens of the world. What a wonderful thing it is. And they would obey only the authority of the truth within, not of, you know, social norms and what is outside. And that's why it's so difficult to understand when this dream manifests. A place of peace, concord and harmony. So we know that even in a house, two people can't live harmoniously. Forget about leave aside a group of humanity. Yet she wants that we should be able to live in concord and harmony. Something basic. Where all the fighting instincts of man would be used exclusively to conquer the causes of his sufferings and miseries. So basically we have to say, what do we have to do in the ashram, in Auroville, or in the world if we want to really work towards manifesting his dream? We don't have to fight with each other that, you know, you are right and I am right. People who live with the idea of right and wrong have this big problem. There is a whole very interesting line in Savitri, which is Shubhendu describes after a very difficult passage in a canto, book 7, canto 2, when Savitri looks at all the world possibilities and she sees its very opposites also are there. Man harbors dangerous forces in his house. And then she uses the word emanation. He uses the word emanation creator. How he tries to destroy. So what is a emanation creator? Emanation creator lives with right and wrong. There are no grays. He draws a line. And right and wrong. So he puts things in two slots. Good and evil. God and Titan. And they fight with each other all the time. But if we look at, even today somebody asked a question that why aren't the Titans should be destroyed with the supramental? We don't realize that Titan is a stage of development towards the human and then the gods and then the divine. So Titan and gods are at one level, we can see them as opposites to each other. That's one way, because they are at two opposite poles of existence. But another, as far as human beings are concerned, earth is concerned, the Titan comes first and then come the gods. So it's an evolutionary continuum. So in evolutionary continuum, you can't destroy like that, because if you destroy a whole mass of humanity which was struggling to come up, will collapse. So that's the whole instead of fighting instincts of man, they will be used exclusively to conquer the causes of his sufferings and miseries. The very next phrase is about what are the causes of sufferings and misery. Because we can always say, yes, that's what I am doing when I fight people. They are making my life miserable. So she says, to surmount his weaknesses and ignorance. So we have to be aware, vigilant. And there are countless weaknesses in all of us, rather than looking at the weaknesses of others. To surmount our own weaknesses and ignorance. This is the cause of misery and suffering. To triumph over his limitations and incapacities. So if we say that, well, this is my nature, then there is no way we can help this dream to manifest. Well, right now it is my nature. I may not be able to, even when we say I cannot understand Sri Aurobindo. So I have declared an impossibility. Instead of that, we should say, right now I cannot, but I am trying, I'll try to. Right now I cannot overcome this weakness, but I will one day overcome with the help of the grace. To triumph over his limitations and incapacities, a place where the needs of the spirit and the concern for progress would take precedence over the satisfaction of desires and passions. So the ashram is devised like that, and Auroville is also meant to be like that. To an extent it is like that, that its freedom does not mean that it's a place where I can just freely, unbridled way satisfy my desires and passions. Rather, I have to conquer them if I really want to conquer. So when we look at super comfort places which have been made in the name of even Auroville, we had that place where all the wonders of the world were represented, and 5-star luxury hotel kind of accommodation. Well, then we can forget about it, because that's the problem. Desire is the problem. But we are getting more and more entrenched into it. So here is a place where we have to concern for progress and needs of the spirit. So that means everything will be provided to fulfill the needs of the spirit and progress. And we know in ashram, for example, you have all the evening classes. All this is part of the program where even general progress can be made. Right from physical education to intellectual needs and vital needs. All this is there, and the spiritual needs. So we have everything is provided for needs of progress, needs of the spirit, and the concern for progress and need of the spirit. Over satisfaction of desires and passions. This also we see that you don't have here any entertainment club. We don't have here... dining room food is there mainly. Of course, there is sometime when people say that, you know, people in the ashram are going out and eating, somebody from outside. So I tell them, yes, I understand, but do one thing, you live for 10 days here and eat only dining room food. So you don't know what is the cutoff point here. Then we'll talk about it. Because it's very easy to live in the life outside and live with all your enjoyments and pleasures. Perhaps people do not know, this is important to mention, because of course they see from outside, because mother has her own way of providing, but many of them live in a single room with not even with attached bathroom, and they get the routine pair of clothing once in whatever quarterly or something. Of course, those who have earned money outside and come here manage. They don't take prosperity, but those who are living. So I keep telling them that by default, they are one notch above. So when we are living in the world, a life which is of reasonable luxury, we are not even qualified to make a comment on those majority who are living here with the quietly and happily. They are not living grudgingly, happily, with the minimum things. And it's a very humbling experience. To me, has been very humbling, because sometimes I take people to go and visit one of the rooms of one of the ashramites. I tell them that, well, you live in this room all your life. After that, forget all your life. Live for 1 month. Then you have a right probably to pass a comment. So, because that's not what the ashram is meant for. It's not a place to satisfy desires and passions. Yes, Mother and Sri Aurobindo, being gracious, super gracious, understanding human nature, somehow they have organized the life this way, that everybody is much more than needs. 3 times the needs are taken care of. But that is the grace of the Divine Mother, It's not no effort toward that. So this is the placement for the search for pleasure and material enjoyment. So these will not take precedence. So needs of the spirit and the concern for progress would take precedence. So she is not saying you are negating it completely. It's not a monastery sannyas. But most important is that. See, the words are so carefully chosen. So they take precedence. So if you have a choice between the two, this takes precedence. Precedence is like this comes first. That is there, but it's secondary, subordinated. It's not the main thing. So it's not a sannyas ashram. So it is provided, but that's subordinated. We have the story of Sahanadi who one day asked, Guru, you know what, I am having a desire to eat prawns, lobsters, fishes. So Shubhendu wrote back, eat your desire. So that instead of eating. At the same time, there have been people who have, like Dilip Kumar Roy, he wanted to have his quota of tea. Those days, you know, it was so clear. Even he said that, this is a good ashram because I can have my tea and I can have rasagullas. It's not banned in the ashram. Well, nothing was banned as such. It was freedom, but the ashram doesn't provide it as such. So she's saying that these things take precedence. We should know why we are here. And they take precedence over the satisfaction of desires and passions, the search for pleasure and material enjoyment. So this is interesting because at one point, all kinds of movements come up everywhere as a part to subvert the main truth of the ashram. Now, there was a movement at some point of time instigated by certain politicians. It came up as Shurabindu Ashram Beneficiary Association. So it was like we are the beneficiaries. By being a ashram inmate, I become a beneficiary. And therefore, I have to be provided by these things. Now, this is by its very nature a false movement. Because that's not how an ashram inmate is supposed to live. He has to learn to practice equanimity. Somebody may have a much better place. Somebody else may not have a better place. And the classic example of Gangadharanji, who was living below a staircase in a very small room with very dark room. And mother, when she went, she saw he was standing out just to have her darshan. And she asked, what are you doing here? He said, I am living here, mother. She went inside his room. And then she scolded Amrita, how come you have kept him here? He said, no, 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 mother, it's perfectly fine. And he had such marvelous experiences. He has written 108 names of Sri Aurobindo. He used to experience authentic descents of supramental force, which has been confirmed by the mother herself. So the beauty, you just imagine. So he says, mother, now though I don't want to change this because you have entered this room. I know a story of Navjat Ji, which is a very touching story, how these people lived. I mean, we know he was a very well-known businessman. That's why people speak all kinds of nonsense. They see some aspect, something, and they have a habit of speaking. But his stories are so touching. One of them was that he was a very rich businessman, as we know, in Bombay, and how he left everything, came here, contributed so much money. All that is one part. So once he had high fever, so mother came to his room. So mother sat on the cot and inquired about him. So after the mother leaves, he made that cot into, now it's mother's asan. I can't sleep on this. And he started sleeping on the floor. So that kind of people who could just give away, anything and everything. Once he told mother, I am able to remember you most of the time, but I am not able to remember you during eating. When I am eating, I am not able to remember you. So she asked that, are you eating alone or are you eating with people? She said, with the family. Then mother kept quiet. He understood. He started eating alone. Now you see, these people have gone and shown the way. Now things are different, of course, whatever be the reason. But this need that now, for example, we should have a high-tech nursing home or a hospital facility. Actually, when nursing home actually came, mother was hesitant whether we should even need a nursing home or not. Because for that, there are hospitals outside. But then she said it should be a place where people can, rest and they could feel well. It was not meant for a, you know, super specialty kind of care, because that's available outside. If then it's a different life. You earn money, you can afford, go to a corporate place. But here the needs of the spirit were much more important. So people looked at it in that, and sometime when you meet those old timers, now very few are left, and I always suggest meet them and talk to them about the life then. Dhara is in a very nice position that way. It's a grace. Some of us had the privilege. I had. When you connect and you hear about the life, ashram life then, it's not about the crowd and all. That's not important. But how they have lived and shown the way. So this is where one has to remember what this place is meant for. This place is meant for the growth of the spirit and not for satisfaction of passions, desires. All this is there as this part of life, and it will come up and all that is known, but it will be always subordinate. It will never take precedence that one is living for that. So in this place, so you see, she had in 54 children were already here, so she is already conceiving. School had started in 51. So what about children? In this place, children would be able to grow and develop integrally without losing contact with their souls. The biggest challenge. And you can't do it with a handbook of psychic education. Just not possible. Somebody who is in touch with his soul can awaken others. That's how in Gurukul they used to do it. In Gurukul, how they would ask, there are so many dialogues of one guru with the disciple, and how the disciples would understand a very profound truth just in the form of story or question answers. So this is important, that the touch of the soul is so important. She described free progress system as a system which is as an education, not a system, it's not a system, as an education which is guided by her soul. So the Swadharma aspect comes in. That's how with Taradish she said this, because she was not very fond of studying. So at 15, mother asked, but she has asked so many questions, maximum questions. So she was, mother asked, what are you interested in? She said, photography. Okay. So do photography. So here it's like free progress. Your Swadharma determines, not any external rule or law or social ideas. In this place, children would be able to grow and develop integrally without losing contact with their souls. Education would be given not for passing examinations or obtaining certificates and posts, but to enrich existing faculties and bring forth new ones. So this is very clear that there are certain faculties already, faculties of the mind, memory, comprehension, understanding, judgment. Of course, a holistic thinking, all this is there already in the mind. Moral education, Shubhendra is written of these faculties, faculties of the heart, faculty of life energy, and it's like, you know, various forms of art, scientific temperament. So all these are existing faculties. And there are new faculties, new modes of senses, intuitive sense, and even other senses which are not yet developed. So all that should be brought out and developed. That's more important rather than making them, help them pass exams and prepare them for job and prepare them for outer success. So if that is the case, if somebody has that goal, then this is not the place. That's how it used to be, very clear. That, well, if that's what you want, the world is there for that. Mother would say it like that, that if you want those things, then the world is there for that. In whatever way it is going. In this place, now, this again very important. In this place, titles and positions would be replaced by opportunities to serve and organize. This is something, you know, which has come much later. People started, you know, if you see mother's early writings when ashram is organized, she says, I don't give positions, I give work. Later on, human beings take it as head, so I am boss. And if I am the boss, I dictate. And others then begin to try that I should become the boss. And now there is a committee to control the boss. And then there would be committees to control the committees. This is a pure mental way, old world, nothing else. People can try. I mean, some of us who have lived life outside and know very well that this doesn't work. But that's not the paradigm. Paradigm is work and serve. This is the only thing which is given here. So, very clearly she says, in this place, titles and positions would be replaced. So, there are no titles and positions. There are work. Work in this department. Quite naturally, somebody, you know, takes care. The word used was in charge. In charge is a simple and nice word. Dining room in charge. So, nothing like he is the head of the dining room. He is the almost like a authority and all that. So, opportunities to serve and organize. The bodily needs of each one would be equally provided for. So, it's not a sannyas ashram. So, bodily needs of dress and soap and hair oil and even spirit used to be given to clean things. So, so all that is provided for. Dhoti, fatwa, I don't know now they make fatwa or not, but it's a lovely dress, you know. Fatwa used to be a kind of, not a t-shirt, what shall I say, it's like banyan, but with arms like this. So I used to love it, I saw, and it's something unique. Now I have seen some kurtas here and there people make like that. But when I came, the one thing which I got made was fatwa. This is so nice. You know, you wear, it's really very nice. It really looks nice also, honestly. So, people used to wear the fatwa and the dhoti. Or or the half panda. Dhyaman bhai, yes, very true. All the time you would see. And now, you, of course, things have changed. But the point is not attachment to fatwa. But what is important is that the bodily needs are taken care of. Whatever you... And there I feel that, you know, you should upgrade that way. That, you know, whatever is needed. Because those things change. But what is important is that bodily needs of each one would be equally provided for. And intellectual, moral and spiritual superiority would be expressed in the general organization, not by an increase in the pleasures and powers of life, but by increased duties and responsibilities. So if you are good, then you will be given more work. And mother will arrange it. Again, Navjaji used to say that the mother would, if you have done a work and you are doing it well, she will give you more work. And it will be of different kinds of works. And he would say it's like high jump. If you have jumped 4 feet, then it's not like she'll say, okay, very nice, you relax. Like power and position, intellectual superiority, those people get more comfort, the judges get more comfort, the president will get super comfort. Here it's the other way around. So if you are more capable, then your duties and responsibilities will increase. So he would say that then if you have crossed 4 feet barrier, 5 feet, more challenging works will be given to you. And till all life will become her work and her service. Everything will become her work and her service. So she says that an intellectual, moral and spiritual superiority would be expressed in the general organization, not by an increase in the pleasures and powers of life, but by increased duties and responsibilities. Beauty in all its artistic forms, painting, sculpture, music, literature, would be equally accessible to all. So once again, it's not a sannyas ashram. That should be very clear. It's not a monastery where you are cut off from life. All that is needed for our spiritual, intellectual, emotional and physical needs and growth is provided for, basically. But for desires and passions, no, it's not provided for. It has to be subordinated. We have to learn to subordinate it. So beauty would be equally accessible to all. So that we know here, anybody can take up these activities. And regularly we have those exhibitions, music programs. Music is taught also. There is an evening classes on music, language, literature, I don't know, but spoken English used to be there. So, but literature, well, Sri Aurobindo and the mother's literature, the classes are there in the evening. So, these are some of the things which are part of the activities. So, even these things that we do are actually part of the, like in evening class, we don't put a label over it. Because putting a label is a different thing. Mother herself started the evening classes, if you really look at it that way. Because sometimes people ask this question. I said, well, she has started. And even in the ashram, there have been times Puraniji used to take a class, Amal Kiran used to take a class, Niruddha used to take a class. Of course, that time according to the means and the people, it was less. But as the means change, as the people nowadays, for example, a larger connection, ashram is not confined only here. So the means have become different. But there are classes. He even wanted to open a studio on, film studio at the service of beauty and truth or truth and good like that. Beauty and truth. She wanted a studio like that. So she was looking forward, cinema. So everything that can help you grow in whatever way, they are provided for. Those needs are provided for. For all. If they are not based on money. So it's not like if you have to study music, you have to pay money. Or you have to attend a class. This class or any class, you have to pay money. No. They're all available to anyone who is interested. So this is the whole idea. It's something so beautiful. See. The ability to share in the joy it brings. So what are you getting? The joy of sharing. The ability to share in the joy it brings would be limited only by the capacities of each one and not by social or financial position. So you can share with anyone, but people are not ready, they don't want for whatever reason, and therefore they don't share in it. But otherwise, the joy of sharing doesn't matter. One person, two persons, Samalda, if you look at those, they used to share just with two or three people. Uta Ben used to take regular classes and used to attend regular classes. There are so many letters of her. And just two or three people used to come. Now we have this, because of, video and audio, so much of possibility has opened. Also because ashram 57 onwards, she says it's all over the world. Inner ashram is there and she speaks of it has extended to whoever has declared in their consciousness that they are disciples of Sri Aurobindo. And have turned towards his teaching. So accordingly the means also have changed. For in this ideal place, money would no longer be the sovereign lord. So this is one reason why I feel very personally both these things. One is that these things, program that we do here, I look at it as part of the extension of the ashram work, because when you look at this vision document, then it comes as part of that, because it's spiritual needs, intellectual needs which are going out. But the moment you put a price tag to it, then it's no more, it does not serve the purpose. So there cannot be any money with regard to, you don't have to sign up through a program. So people often say, how will we run? Well, if you don't have the means, don't run. Share it freely. Otherwise, don't share. There is no problem. There should be complete detachment. Even in the ashram, you see the school. Throughout the schooling period, there is no fees charged from anyone. No fees charged. And some token amount, I don't know how much is it now, 250, 300 per year. It's like people won't believe it. They would think 250,000 or boarding. And 10 rupees per day for the corner house or something. They have to eat food. 59. Now, slightly, even dining room. So, we cannot imagine this in the world outside, that even if you look at this part, how is the ashram being sustained? That's a magic. It's unimaginable. So, I very proudly say that, look here, this, forget about other very big things, you are nitpicking this and that defect. Look at the ideal. Look at how people sit together and eat in the dining room. Nobody says, oh, you are a big doctor or you are a, only a person who is cleaning the place. No. You're all one, equal. So that ideal of Vedantic communism, that's how Shubhinda says, communism will go away because it's based on purely have and have nots. Very, it's more of the animal instinct it's based on. And then she says, if ever communism has to establish here upon earth, it will be along Vedantic lines, where the self is one and equal in all, and then its manifestation, there is a gradation, difference, hierarchy. But this hierarchy does not mean external pleasures, more comfort. So that's something very beautiful. So first time I remember traveling with Dhyuman Bhai to Gloria, I didn't know, he used to call me suddenly in the room and would say, I am very fond of you. And I thought, he's probably some ashramite and so happy. I didn't never bothered who is a trustee and all that. I didn't know what is a trustee. And then he told me, you come tomorrow with me to, you know, Gloria Land. I didn't know what is Gloria Land. So I said, okay, wherever, old man will take me. Then I realized he is a trustee. And he was so fond, look at the humility, that he would remember that our birthdays are the same date and he would write a message. So I once asked him that my remembering your birthday is understandable, I write to you. But you remembering is unimaginable. And what a humility these people had, that once I made for him a card from a newspaper cutting off the mother's picture. So imagine what it would be. But I liked it because the mother's signature was on it. Means print. So I stuck it, made a card and sent. And he wrote back. He said, it's so rare to see the mother's signed picture these days. And I'm so grateful. I mean, somebody would be having. So this is the path they have shown. Now, of course, our people look at it differently. But this is the yardstick of the ashram. And that's how one has to see. So, for in this ideal place, money would no longer be the sovereign lord. Individual worth would have a far greater importance than that of material wealth and social standing. So, nobody knows here that, you know, who has given more money. The people who give regularly offerings and people who have given a lot of money. But based on that, you are not supposed to get privileges. But something else which operates. So, it's not based on, it's neither flattening of equality nor it is like based on the money and the social position. This is what she wants. This is the vision document. There, work would not be a way to earn one's living, but a way to express oneself and to develop one's capacities and possibilities while being of service to the community as a whole. So this was very important at one point. Mother allowed that freedom to express yourself in a field. You were not controlled by somebody else that you have to do it this way. For example, in the field of medicine, I could feel that, well, this is my way of approaching. So I was given the freedom to approach this way. There was nobody sitting over me and monitoring and controlling and dictating who has to be what. So this is the ideal that she has placed in the heart of man. And always there will be people who are trying to live this ideal. Always. There would be a core. So it will be possibilities while being of service to the community as a whole. So work has two aspects in it. One is that you express your deepest self. And second is that you also serve the community. So both aspects are there. Which for its own part. So what about the community? Would provide for each individual subsistence and sphere of action. So there is something community has to also do. It will provide you with your needs and give you a place, sphere of action. That's it. It's not like this is a big work, this is a lesser work. That's your field given to you. Not others' field, what others are doing, that's not our business. Mother said very clearly, mind your own business. It may be a small field, do it well. That's what matters. It could be something like, you know, philately department. So I used to ask, yahan kya hota hai? What? You know, imagine there is a stamp department here. And you go and see, it's so well kept. It's amazing. Shobindu's room, of course. But it's so amazing. You know, the way the atmosphere. Somebody would say, what is the utility? That's where beauty, art, even in that, she would notice that there is a disciple. Somebody said, what is the use of this person? She says, have you noticed how he puts these stamps on each envelope? That's his sadhana. So it's not like what is the use. It's not like things are being made for use and money earning and all that is not to be considered. In short, it would be a place where human relationships, the most difficult part now, So there will be human relationships. Sadhaks are not supposed to be at cross with each other. Human relationships which are normally based almost exclusively on competition and strife. Who is one up? Who is, if you are senior, I'll flatter you. If you can be of help to me, I'll go around you for benefit, for advantage. So that's not what she wants. So human relationship based on competition and strife. Oh, this person may become the head. So I must do something to undercut. No, that should not be the way. But what it should be replaced with? Would be replaced by relationships of emulation in doing well. If somebody is doing well, you're not competing with him. You're picking up that. And you're incorporating in your practice. So beautiful. You're not trying to pull the person down or put him down or her down. But you're learning and growing, that's all. Not criticizing, emulating in doing well, of collaboration and real brotherhood. Now you see, brotherhood is the most difficult part in the freedom, fraternity, unity, and freedom, unity and fraternity. That liberty, unity and fraternity. This was the cry of the French Revolution. It's there in Indian Constitution, and Aurobindo has written so much about it. The new world order will be based on this. So liberty, you have liberty, it's often at the of unity. Where you have unity, it's often at the, because unity is by uniformity, human beings create. So liberty is gone. Where you have liberty, each man his own way, unity is suffered. Where you try to do liberty and unity, then fraternity is gone. So Aurobindo writes, fraternity is the key. All fraternity can only come when we start seeing the oneself in all. That should be the basis of a relationship, seeing the divine in each one. So she says, beautiful this is, that, well, real brotherhood, not the idea of brotherhood, the Islamic brotherhood or the Russian brotherhood, socialistic brotherhood. See, this is where she is giving us a roadmap of what real brotherhood should be and would be one day. And then, of course, she says that, I know people are not ready for this. The earth is certainly not ready to realize such an ideal. 54, she says that, much after supramental manifestation also. 60s, whenever she would meet Aurobindo, of course, in those inner meetings. And Aurobindo would say, not yet ready. Mankind is not yet ready. Old world is so strong. We fall back upon the old ways, the old world, police. Mother never wanted police to come to the ashram premises. Police should not come. Auroville also, that was the whole idea. Police should not come. That shows an incapacity. When you are using an external force, it means you are not capable of handling a situation. Similarly, law. Court cases, all this is not the way to settle. That means humanity is still primitive. It needs to fight out in the court with dispute. It cannot resolve a dispute by itself. Well, maybe humanity is not ready, but that's how she says that, well, this is the dream. We should at least know that is the ideal towards which we must move. For mankind does not yet possess sufficient knowledge to understand and adopt it, nor the conscious force that is indispensable in order to execute it. That is why I call it a dream. So first we don't know. What is the other way? If not this way, if not through courts, if not through police, if not through doctors, these are the three things we should go away in the new world. What is the other way? So we don't know. But we should search. Because if we say we don't know, therefore we are no, then that means we are discarding the dream. If we say that we don't know, but we want to know, we have an aspiration, then the means will be provided, the knowledge will come. Because that's the basic thing. Aspire and you shall find the way. In whatever field it is. So one is that we don't know. Second is we don't have the force to execute it. For example, if you have to settle a dispute, how would mother do it? There are some very interesting instances. One of them, I remember, somebody complained about someone. And this someone complained about this person. One is that she would see with her own vision. She called both of them, said, sit in front, now you tell. Not as a CBI investigator. You say, you speak. Now you see, her consciousness is such that you can't tell lies. Though people told lies even in front of her, and she tells, I know he is telling a lie. So if the consciousness is so developed, then it is possible. But human nature has to understand. So human beings have to understand that they have to discover the force that is indispensable in order to execute it. And we don't yet have it. That's why she calls it a dream. But this is going to come. Not having it means, well, there would be some others who will find a way. Because there are people who are seeking. I remember sitting inside a hospital and my heart was crying, this cannot be a way. There has to be some other way. I don't know whether I have found the way or not, but definitely that seeking, this pumping medicine, cutting a part and, you know, running to an emergency, this cannot be the way. There has to be some other way for healing to take place. At least one begins to understand, and then the power also begins to develop. So this is where she is using the word, it's a dream. And yet, so she says that it is still far, and yet this dream is in the course of becoming a reality. So there is the great assurance. Who will collaborate? Who will not collaborate? That's where perhaps the difference between the inner ashram and the outer ashram comes. So inner ashram, I suppose, are those who are really trying in their, with all their limitations, to manifest this dream, to collaborate. And this is the outer ashram, where for various reasons people are there. But they are continuing with the old way of life and they believe in the old methods. So she says, that is what we are striving for in Shurbindo's ashram. This is something so beautiful. She is not using the word Sri Aurobindo ashram. She is using the word Sri Aurobindo's ashram. It's his ashram. In 54, she wants everybody to understand. Otherwise, people have a tendency, okay, now whose ashram? It is Sri Aurobindo's ashram. Of course, 55, she made a trust. So handed over the dream to humanity. Basically, it means that. That now through evolution, you have to discover ways and means. How you do it? Her help is there with all who sincerely want to manifest it in whatever field they are working. On a very small scale, in proportion to a limited means. So she knows the means are limited and on a small scale, meaning thereby this is only a laboratory. This has to be replicated everywhere. Maybe in business fields, people in business, people outside, educators, they have to try to pick up this dream and express. The ashram is only a laboratory of evolution. Shobindu used the word. Somebody else used the word, somebody in America, and Shobindu says, as X put it, this ashram is a laboratory, as X put it. So here all kinds of people have come and they are being put together to evolve a new spiritual kind. So this is where the laboratory is. Naturally, it's not an easy task because millenniums or trillenniums of atavism is holding us back. And yet it is moving forward. So it is, the realization is certainly far from perfect. But it is progressive. That's where the hope lies. If you see things cross-sectionally, you will say, oh, this is how it is. It's not a utopia. Utopia, there is no ready-made utopia. But if you see horizontally, then you will see that, well, it has to move in that direction. Little by little, we are advancing towards our goal, which we hope we may one day be able to present to the world as a practical and effective way to emerge from the present chaos. So it's a model laboratory. How long will it take? We don't know. But we hope that next year is ashram's centenary. And this year, I believe Sri Krishna and Sri Aurobindo's birthday fall on the same date. Janamashtami and 15th August. I've been told, I have not cross-checked. If it is so, then it's very interesting obviously not just a coincidence, because 100 years of the ashram means 100 years of Siddhi Day, when Sri Krishna fused with Sri Aurobindo. So if it is true, then it will be this year Janamashtami. If it is true, it is true. My Avilash confirms it is true. So if it is true, it's a very, very, it's not a fortuitous accident. Or the nothing is an accident, but it's very interesting. Because this year, November, starts the centenary. And it'll enter into completion next year, November. And some people like to celebrate for one more year. So if this year Sri Aurobindo and Sri Krishna's birthday are falling on the same date, it's reliving the event that took place 100 years back, nearly 100 years back. So it's very interesting. So we hope that over the next 2-3 years, the world becomes more aligned to the vision of this dream. And first of all, Ashram and Aurobindo will get more aligned, which are more direct children, more aligned to this dream. But as we should remember, she has said somewhere. She is not bound and tied to any one place. In 70, there is a little statement she makes passingly. She says, maybe we'll begin somewhere else just with 10 people. So we should not limit her vision. Where, what, how. So there should be somewhere. And that she is trying to do it in Sri Aurobindo's ashram. Obviously, the chances are maximum here. Like again with India. India, Sri Aurobindo said, it's the land which should lead because it has the background. But he has also cautioned, if India does not take up, divine is not limited. Some other place will manifest. It's the same thing with Arjun. Arjun, we have been together for ages. You are given the first opportunity. If you are ready to become the instrument, fine. Otherwise, instruments I'll make. It may delay the work, but eventually the dream will manifest. So this where we should remember, it's a great privilege to be part of this dream. In whatever little way, if we can put in effort, if the Divine Mother pouring all her Shakti, she says, we are far from it, but little by little we are moving, and she is ready to work with such patience, infinite patience, then we as her children, even that little squirrel's effort, we should put in. But this is the direction, it's the vision document for all of us. So one day, be able to present to the world as a practical and effective way to emerge from the present chaos. To be born into a new life that is more harmonious and true. So collect this dream for the collective life. If that can be done, wonderful. But as individuals, at least in whatever sphere of our action, maybe our family, maybe our little, sector where we are working, we're always working with some people, or whichever field we are working, medicine, engineering, business, we should try to manifest this dream, because this is a dream of the divine implanted upon earth. And all else should not matter. We should not care about what others are doing. At one place she says, we are not here to do what others are doing. We are here to do what others cannot do because they don't even know that it is to be done. So thank you, Jai Ma. May this dream manifest in us individually and collectively. Let us just pause for half a minute and just pray and aspire, because the sooner the better. Okay. Jai Ma.